Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Fifth book in the Bible, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4 this morning. We're going to read verses in chapter 4, 29 through 31 this morning. I'm going to read aloud as you read along silently. That's Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. As you're finding your place this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together, would you please stand to your feet if you're able this morning? Because, of course, we understand. If you're not, please remain seated. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning at verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning. I pray that you would use this passage to help us today to live better and for you and make our lives a difference for you in our community. Now, God, use this passage. Anoint our pastor to preach from this section of Scripture this morning. And Father, as it was prayed already this morning, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they'll get this settled this morning. Now be with us, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, now I'm going to ask that you make sure your telephone, electronic devices, all that is turned off. We'd appreciate that very much. And if you don't want to, turn it off anyhow, and we would appreciate that very much even more. How do you find God? I've been asked that a few times as a pastor and traveling some or just talking with people, usually young people. They say, how do you find God? In our passage this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 4, I'd like you to notice the statement of verse 29, please. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. You know, ladies and gentlemen, God reveals himself to us in many different ways. Romans chapter 1, the Bible says, but the invisible things of him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen by the things that he has made. God reveals himself through his creation. It's a tragedy that someone would look at what is made, created, attribute it to something other than the God of heaven who made it. Ladies and gentlemen, the mountains know that God made them because they point back to him. The trees know that God made them. They point back to the Creator. The creation of God shows us, he is evidence. In fact, that passage in Romans chapter 1, read it sometime when you start about verse number 17, and you'll see how a society devolves, not evolves, devolves into anarchy, immorality, and all sorts of things because it starts with this. But when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They look at what God has made and they say, well, that's just an accident of evolution. No, that's the divine creation of an almighty God. And he's revealing himself to you. He's showing you this. No, it's not nature. If you want to call it nature, then God put the forces of nature into their effect. But God made this. God reveals himself through his creation. God also reveals himself to us through his working in our lives. John chapter 14, 15, and 16, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit has come. After Jesus went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit came to help us to understand, to understand God and understand truth. And God literally works in people's lives, look here, to reach down and to touch their life and work in the circumstances and the situations of their life to get them to acknowledge that there is a God. Now, unfortunately for some people, they'll blame him for everything that's bad and give him no credit for anything that's good. Something bad happens, they get mad at God. Well, there's God for you. Something good happens. I mean, when was the last time you heard someone say, I got a promotion and a raise at work, and thank God that that happened? Well, smart people get to do that. But no, there's a disaster, a catastrophe. That's an act of God. Now, if we're going to give him the credit for that which we don't want, let's give him the credit for that which we do. But know this, God is in the business of working in people's lives. Now, it may not be necessarily the way they wanted it. In fact, in this passage there in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 30, he says, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, thou shalt and shalt be obedient unto his voice. Yeah, you know, most of us are going to turn around and get smart with God when there's trouble in our life. The average person who gets saved is going to get saved in a time of difficulty. Hey, that's not bad, by the way. I call that smart. Because if God's knocking, friend, then you better open the door. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. God is knocking on the door of people's lives. It may not be the knock they wanted. It may not be the thing they wanted in their lives. But I'll tell you something, I'd rather have something troublesome come to my life that woke me up to turn to God than go through life with joy, peace, and happiness and wind up in hell. God works in our lives. God also reveals himself through that book, the Word of God. Through the preaching and the teaching of it, as we read it, it reveals to us who God is. It helps us to understand. Oh, by the way, you better get your understanding of God from this, not from this. Huh? A lot of people today, they got their own God, you know. They're making their own God. Well, the God that I understand, the God that I believe in, here's the God I believe in, et cetera, et cetera. You don't make God. He made you. And we better understand him. We got to get to his word and understand who God is. That book reveals to us our God and what he's like. And when you hear it preached and taught, it's going to help you to understand him better. And so that's how God, you know, when people say, how do you find God, Pastor Johnson? Well, in my own personal life, I've come to that place at times where I felt like I couldn't find him. And here's what I come to understand. Very simple thoughts this morning on how do you find God. Here's how you find him. First of all, realize he's not lost. You are. I was sitting next to a person on an airplane one day, young man, as a matter of fact, and began to talk to him about the Lord. And he said, don't bother, I'm an atheist. He said, I don't believe in your God. And I said, I bet he's impressed. I said, partner, look at me. You have good vision? He said, 20/20 vision. Close your eyes. He did. And I said, are you blind? He said, no, I just have my eyes closed. I said, there you go. God is in the business of working in your life. You don't acknowledge him, that doesn't make him go away. He never moved. God is where God has always been. Listen, you can't find God. He isn't lost. It isn't like God is not there anymore just because you and I can't find him in some area or circumstance or situation in our life. People today, the many people today, are turning away from God and just saying, I just refuse to accept the existence of God. And of course, they always come behind with some really weak, what we used to call in the old days, weak sauce excuses. Weak sauce. Well, if there's really a God, then why is there all this trouble in the world? If there's really a God, why is there disease and famine and pestilence and sorrow and sadness and sickness and disease and death? If there's really a God, what's that all about now? Oh, my friend, you know, it's interesting. When God made everything, it was perfect. It was right. It was all good. People were going to live forever. Hey, look here. In this kind of body right here, this stuff would have lived forever, but sin changed that, and God didn't make that. We did. And because of sin, there's disease and famine and pestilence and everything else in this world. Hey, every morning God came to walk in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam, Eve, garden, Eden. God came and walked every day to walk and to talk with them. And because of sin, they turned away from God. God didn't move, they moved. God didn't change, they changed. Sin changed things. You want to find God? You need to realize he's not lost. He didn't leave us. Isaiah chapter 59. Let me just read you the scripture this morning, if I may. Verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Look here. God didn't change anything. Look here. You embrace sin in your life, you've changed, not him. It's our sin, the Bible says, that has caused his ear not to hear and his hand not to reach. So then you see, it's not God that changed, it's me. And sin has changed that. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross. Jesus came and died on the cross to remove the punishment and the penalty and the payment of sin that have separated us from God. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That quickening comes the moment I'm born again by accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You know what's amazing, ladies and gentlemen? The moment a person accepts Christ as their Savior, they're alive unto God and God is alive unto them. But we change things, not God. It was our sin that crucified Jesus. It was our sin that nailed him to the cross. It was our sin that made that punishment and penalty lay upon Jesus. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, but I am a child of God. I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And there are times in my life where I just feel like I can't find God. Then look at Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29 again. Please look. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him between lunch, if thou seek him after you've watched enough television, if thou seek him when it's convenient for you, when you do the hear God thing, hear God, come here God, stand right there now. Oh, there you are. Okay, I'm sorry I don't have time for you right now. I've got other things to do. But you hang around. When I come back, we'll show up. We'll get there. That attitude. He says, no, if you seek him with all your heart. See this thing about being a child of God, we need to understand something. When I feel like I can't find God in my life, it's still a sin issue. Or I've just become so distracted by my life, my heart is somewhere else. Come on, try that, you married people out there today. Try that with your spouse. Go home today. Look across the table from each other. Point at your spouse and say, we just don't seem to be as close as we used to. This week, my wife and I were talking about something. We were talking, and I told her something. I said, well, let's do so-and-so. She goes, I just said that. You did? She goes, yes. I go, oh. A few minutes later, she was saying something. I said, yeah, but I just said that. She goes, you did? I said, yes. I said, honey, our communication stinks. We're talking, but nobody's listening. This is not working out. Of course, it's all her fault. But the truth of the matter is, it's pretty big talk. She's not in the room. And if you go tell her, I'll preach on hell for 6 months. All right? So just figure that one out. You know how that is, people. Look at me. You look across the table at your spouse and you just say, you know, I love you, but my heart's not in it. But I just wanted to tell you that anyway. Or you do one of the famous ones. Okay, I love you. All right? Is that what you wanted to hear? Okay, I love you. I said it. Now, you can't say I never told you I love you. I love you. All right, I love you. If I ever change my mind, I'll let you know I love you. How about that? Somehow or another, that just doesn't bring romance into mind. I don't hear violins playing. I don't hear angels harping. I don't hear anything. Because you know what? The heart is not in it. We say, oh, I just can't seem to find God. But look at me. Look at me. And then we get up and we go about our lives like there is no God in our life. I'm talking to Christians now. And we got our own life. We got our own things. We do our own stuff. And then we wonder why when we need God, we can't find him. Well, the truth is you've neglected him through all this stuff in your life. You're too busy for God. And then we wonder why we can't find God. Again, he's not lost. He's still right here. He wants to be with you. But you got to seek him with all your heart. You got to look at me. You got to stop this stuff of just letting life overtake us and letting things of life overtake us. We wonder why life is running us down. It's because life is running your life. That's what the problem is. And there's no time for God. There's no time to be with him. There's no time for the still, quiet moments where we get alone with our God and we just let him nurture and work on us and we get some time with him and we actually say, you know what, Lord? I just want to be with you today. Hey, look at me. You know, you have, how many of you have grandchildren? Now, you know how those grandchildren are when they're little. They want to be with you. They want to talk to you. They want you to read books to them. They color your little pictures. You know, they do those little crayon pictures, and you're turning it every way like that. And you go, what is that? And you go, that's you, Gramps. And you go, whoa, Gramps needs a day off. Look at that. It's upside down. Oh, I'm sorry. Turn it around. And then when they're not looking, it winds up in the trash can, and they walk by. And they take it out, and they look at you, and they go, what happened? I said, oh, no, who did that? Give me that picture. And then they turn 13. And they don't even know your name anymore. They make you drop them off 2 blocks from their friend's house. We understand how that works. We understand the neglect of relationships, do we not? Can't find God? He's not lost. He's right where he's always been. He's not lost. He's right where he's always been. You're the one who's moved, not him. When you seek him, he said, you'll find me. God said, you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. Oh, that's why you ought to have a good relationship with the book of Psalms in the Bible. So many times David cried out, and I read it again this morning, Psalm 46, as the heart panted after the water brook, so panted my soul after thee, O God. And David just wanted to be with his God. He wanted to be. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. David knew if something wasn't right and he couldn't find God, he knew he needed to get to God. He needed to seek God in his life and stop letting life run his life and let God back in the front door. God is not lost. You know how you find God? Look here, people. He's seeking you. Those parables, Jesus taught 51 parables in the Bible. The parable of the prodigal son. How that boy comes to his dad and says, give me my inheritance. And he takes it and goes off to a far country and spends it on riotous living. And the father's at home waiting for him to come back. And the Bible says when he was yet a great way off and after eating a hog, living in the pig pen, eating pig food, he wakes up and he says, I will arise and go unto my father. And he gets up out of that hog pen, all sloppy, filthy, dirty, awful, horrible stain of the hog pen on his life and his body. And he's walking home. And the Bible says when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Do you know why? Because he went out there every day, his dad, and he looked out there and he wanted to see his boy come home. That's why he kept seeking him. And that's what God is doing today, dear people. God is seeking you out. John chapter 4 and verse 23, Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. He said, the Father seeketh such to worship him. He wants people to come to him. He's seeking you out. And if that doesn't convince you, that ought to convince you. The cross of Jesus Christ, that God would send his own son, come in his own flesh to this earth, to take upon himself the form of a servant, to go to the cross, to pay for our sins, and dip his soul into death, and rise from the grave, to give us the gift of eternal life. He did all of that because God is seeking you out. You ever been in a public place before and lost one of your kids? They got away from you? You said, that'll never happen to me, Pastor Johnson. If you only have one, probably not. You get more than one, something happens to that third or fourth kid. I don't know what that is all about. They get away from you. They do. Joshua, get out of that chair in there, son. Is that you creaking? It's driving me crazy. Stand up, man. Stand up. Either that or my knees are really bad and I can hear them all the way up here. One or the other one. The truth of the matter is, look at me. Yeah, I've been out there before in a public place. You turn around and one of them is gone. And you think, oh, well, I didn't want him anyway. No, you don't need to say that. We got two others. No. You turn around and you go, oh, my soul. And there's a panic. You weed your way through the crowd, you find that little bugger, and it's one of those, parents are weird. You cry because you find them, then you whoop them because they got away from you. I mean, does that make sense? It's biblical. And I'm so glad you're here. Whoa. Give them a spanking. Don't ever do that again. I told you to stay by me. Don't you walk off again. Huh? But do you ever notice how so often that little guy's not, he doesn't care about anything. He's looking at candy bars. She's looking at toys. They're just having a grand old time, and you're panicking because you can just envision them being sold by white slave traders in Saudi Arabia, and your kids are gone, and it's over with. But who's seeking the kid? The parent is seeking the child. The child could care less. Hey, that's us, isn't it? Isn't that us? Look at me. He's seeking us out. You may have walked away from him today, and you're out of the will of God, and you're backslidden in your life. He is seeking you. Wants you back. We've all grieved with families and loved ones who've had a child taken. And how we grieve with those families, and we watch them as they carry the vigil for their loved one. And years pass and people's attention span draws short, but a mom or a dad never forget. They always want that child back. Always. That's your God this morning. You hear me? I just can't find God, Pastor Johnson. Maybe it's because you want him to come on your path instead of you take his. Is that it? You want God to meet you on your terms instead of you meeting God on his terms. He is seeking you out. You know how you find God? I'll tell you how you find him. You find that he's a forgiving God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how you find him. You find him to be a forgiving God. See, but Pastor Johnson, isn't there some things God will not forgive us for? There is one unpardonable sin, one. One sin for which God will never forgive anyone. And that's called the unpardonable sin. It's the sin of continually rejecting Christ as your personal Savior and turning away from him for the last time that God decides. Now you better hear me this morning. If you're here today and you're not certain, 100% sure of salvation and eternal life, and you've heard the gospel before, you better settle it today. You don't decide when's your last time to hear the gospel. God does. But anything else, Pastor Johnson, I find no place else in the Bible where God draws the line of forgiveness. That's what I've found him to be, a very forgiving God. Bible says faithful and just. Faithful means he always will. Just means if he forgives anybody, he'll forgive anybody. Now see, you and I have our own little system of justice. No, I shouldn't forgive this kind of person or that kind of person or this type of person. Or if they did this, well, that's unforgivable. See, that's when you do that, by the way, and you don't grant forgiveness because you think your standard is higher than God's, you think you're better than God. I said he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What an amazing God. That's how you find him. You find him to be a forgiving God. You find him to be a gracious God. Please listen one more time here. Psalm 145, let me read it for you. It says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Did you test his mercy this week? Just shake your head like that. Like that right there. That's good for you. Yes, you did, didn't you? Huh? Because I'll prove it to you. Watch this. How many of you from last Sunday to this Sunday, just this week, now we're not going to back up too far than that. How many of you just in this period of last 7 days, you're absolutely sinless? You never did anything wrong in 7 days. Some of you are sitting there thinking, let me think. Seriously? Well, then I got good news for you. You just lied in church. Okay? You were not sinless and pure this week, were you? Oh, and something horrible. Well, oh, the judgment of God fell down on top. No. By the way, don't take mercy to be a free ticket to wrong. Don't take God's mercy and grace to be a free pass to do what you like because nothing's happened. Don't miss that now. But the fact that something didn't proves you have mercy. That's how I found God. He is gracious, and he is merciful, and he has great compassion. You know where you find God? You find God as a holy God. Now, we like that other part, the forgiving, compassionate, gracious, merciful God. We like that part. How about the holy God? Oh, you see, I didn't live sinlessly this week. I didn't. I played golf. Somehow I think there's an absolution over a golf course. 18 holes of it doesn't matter. Not really. But the truth is, I won't even list them for you. I'll just simply say this. I found that that same holy, righteous God, who is also compassionate, understanding, and forgiving, didn't give me an inch when I did anything wrong this week. Oh, yes. He got all over my case. I'm driving down the road. I have somewhere to go. I have a life. There are people out there who have nowhere to go, and they have no life. And somehow they get in front of me, who have nowhere to go, and they have no life. And these same idiot people will not pull over and let the guy go by them that has a life and somewhere to go. And it seems like maybe they've got one of those, what do you call those cars? You got one. A hybrid. A hybrid that has like two squirrels and a bag of nuts underneath the hood. It doesn't even make a sound. It's not like a sewing machine. And they're trying to conserve that 84 miles to the gallon, so they only drive like 25. So it keeps the mileage at 90 miles to the gallon. It's great, isn't it? You drive right by the gas station where I'm there pumping gas. I know that. And those same people will die and burn in hell forever. But here's the point. They no sooner do they get in front of me than all that prayer and time with the Lord just right out the window. And I try not to get frustrated, but I can't help myself. And I'm about rubbing the bugs off my front of my car on their bumper to get them the idea of pull over. What is up with these people from Oregon and Washington? Anybody from Oregon and Washington in here? These people from Oregon and Washington who have the nerve to drive through California and drive the speed limit. What is up with these people? On a two-lane road, they won't even get out of the way. So they're in the truck lane. Pull over on the curb. Get out of the way. Anyway, so the point is this. I didn't make it 7 days and I found something out. As soon as my thought was not right and the word started to come out of my mouth, as soon as that happened, the holy God, compassionate, forgiving, gracious, understanding, also said, that's not right. You need to change your attitude. Slow down one car length for 10 miles per hour. You know how many car lengths that is at 60 miles an hour? That's a long, I can't even figure that distance. But I found him to be also a holy God. Convicts me of my sin. You don't want that one. You want the other one. But unfortunately, it's the same God. See, that's what we're having a problem with today. That's why we can't find God. Because you can't find a God that satisfies you. Meets your understanding, meets what you want from him, where he's just what I want. He's always there for me. Well, he is always there for you. And that's one of those good, bad things, because God is always there for you. I find myself sometimes saying, you know, I just can't seem to find God in this, but it's usually because he's not meeting my expectations. But I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When the day comes that you turn your heart and your mind and acknowledge him as God and you as his creation and his child if you're saved, well, you can find him real easy. He's right there. That close. You need to find God this morning. Stand our feet, please, would you? The old hymn, the old song is, he was there all the time. Christ was there all the time. Waiting patiently in line. Christ was there all the time. May I ask you a question this morning? Do you need to find God this morning? So I'm okay with where I'm at. Well, then there will come a time when where you're at won't be sufficient and won't work. You need to find, look here, folks. This thing, I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. No matter what I say, if you'll just hold that for a moment. Listen now, I want you to understand something. God didn't move, we did. And yes, he is seeking you out. But now you must come to him on his terms, not yours.